pleased to meet and talk today in Jerusalem, to talk to Tamar Sternthal, director of the Israel Office of Camera, which is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America. Tamar, good morning.
Good morning, Pascal. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Can you describe to us in a few words what does CAMRA? What is CAMRA?
Sure. CAMRA is a media monitoring, research, and activist organization with over 65,000 members. We were founded in the United States over 3 years ago, now going on 35 years, during the first Lebanon War. And what we do is we monitor a wide range of media outlets to ensure that they are adhering to their own professional codes of conduct. And this covers areas of accuracy, that's the most obvious, are the facts correct, and all other areas that fall under general codes of conduct and the codes of conduct of specific media outlets, such as conflict of interest, giving both sides or parties in a story the opportunity to respond. And we do detailed analysis on media outlets over a long period of time, and we also look at specific reports on their own. Mm-hmm.
So you cover a lot of media all over the world. What are the specific countries or regions in the world that you cover?
CAMRA has operations in 3 languages. So we started in North America. That was our main focus for a long time. We expanded over the last number of years into the UK. So we have 2 blogs that cover the UK coverage. That is UK Media Watch and BBC Watch, because BBC is such a huge organization, it warrants its own dedicated blog. We also have Spanish media coverage, which is very relevant to your listeners. You'll have to help me out with the name of our Spanish website, Revista de Medio Oriente.
Muy bien.
Thank you. That's the extent of my Spanish right there. And this website monitors Spanish language media in Spain, as well as the Americas, North, South, and Central. Mm-hmm. And one more language I nearly neglected is Hebrew. We opened our Hebrew department called Perspectiva several years ago because we found that much of the misinformation in the international press originates right here in Israel. So mm-hmm. it's very important to deal with it at its source. Mm-hmm.
Okay, since we are here in Jerusalem, we are here in your office in Israel, what are the specific tasks that you have to perform in your daily work?
So each staffer has responsibility for certain media outlets. I came to the organization in 1999. I worked in the Boston office, so I continued with some of the media outlets that I adopted at that time. They include the Los Angeles Times and the New York Times. We actually have a number of staff people looking at the New York Times because it is the most influential media outlet probably in the world. It sets the tone and content for much of the coverage around the world. I look personally at the wire services because that's Associated Press, Agence France-Presse, which publishes in several languages, including English, Reuters, among others, because I'm in the same news cycle. Here in Jerusalem, I can see on news databases like LexisNexis when these stories are published. And if I'm able to catch an inaccuracy or an omission and I communicate with the editors in the same news cycle, it's easy for them to update it with the correct information. And that way, the corrected stories are what reach the newspapers around the world, and then we don't have to work backwards chasing down on information that's been printed in newspapers and appears in websites all over the world. Mm-hmm. So we go through systematic monitoring on a number of specific news outlets. We research the facts if there's any question, and we communicate with the editors, the journalists, to try and prompt correction. And we educate the public as well by writing pieces on our website. We publish in a variety of media outlets, and occasionally we run ads in very extreme cases of media bias and cover-up of the information, mm-hmm. correct information.
Yeah, the part of education seems to be relevant because do you believe that many bias or many mistakes derived from a lack of information?
I think there are many sources and many reasons for misinformation in the media. It's not always clear to us where the reason for a particular journalist reporting in a particular way. Sometimes we have a very clear indication. We do know in periods of intense conflict, there are many journalists who are just brought in dropped in with no background, no experience, and they tend to cluster and herd together, and, you know, one piece of misinformation is repeated over and over again until it becomes an accepted truth, so to speak. And I'll give you an example. UN Resolution 242 is the United Nations resolution passed by the Security Council after the Six-Day War in 1967. And this resolution had repeatedly been misrepresented by the media, which had stated that it required Israel to withdraw from all of the West Bank or all of the West Bank in Gaza or from East Jerusalem. And we saw this repeatedly misrepresented in media outlets, including the New York Times. And this is going back to the Camp David negotiations in 2000 when Yasser Arafat was meeting with Ehud Barak and Bill Clinton. And it was very relevant to the negotiations at the time, so it played a prominent role in media coverage. And the New York Times three times misrepresented what UN Resolution 242 said, because this is probably just what the journalists believed that it said without actually going back and looking at the wording. And this was an three times over the course of the summer, July, August, September, and three times we got them to correct it. And in the 16 years since then, the error has not recurred. So this shows that we're able to have a systemic impact on the coverage. And when you get an important correction on a substantive issue in a leading publication like the New York Times, we're able to use that to make sure that other media outlets. So there is a lot of ignorance. That is certainly one source of misinformation.
Okay, so we describe your work globally wise here in Israel. Do you have mini media under watch?
Do I have
media under watch? Media, Israeli media, Israeli.
Oh, Israeli media. Yes, we have three researchers in Perspectiva who are monitoring Israeli newspapers. We cover the wide range of Israeli newspapers, primarily newspapers, but also occasionally broadcast journalism as well. We had a lot of material on Haaretz in the last few years because Haaretz is the source of most of the information that we're finding, although we try very hard to find in every media outlet that we're looking at and to expose equally, but there is simply more material on Haaretz. One thing that this office has exposed and managed to put on the public agenda, the Israeli public agenda in the last six months, is the fact that there are many mistranslations of the original Hebrew articles which appear in the English edition. So while Haaretz is not a particularly popular or well-read newspaper here in Israel, it is very influential around the world. It is relied upon by the foreign press corps that's based here, by diplomats and policymakers. And all too often, we find instances in which the English version of the Hebrew article is mistranslated in a way that downplays Palestinian violence or any Arab wrongdoing, and also adds misinformation about Israel which did not appear in the original Hebrew. And we've documented so many examples of this that the Hebrew press has started to pay attention. The publisher and editor of Haaretz in the last several months have been called onto Israeli television and radio to address this problem. And there was a major story in Globes, which is the leading Israeli business journal in Israel, and Globes did feature on our work on this translation problem. As a result, Haaretz, we clearly got under their skin because we were making an impact, and they attempted to do a front page expose trying to expose that we had a conflict of interest, which most people saw that story for what it was, which was a feeble attempt to lash out against their critics and distract from the issues that we were drawing attention to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you analyze or do you read and search Palestinian media?
Generally not. There are two organizations whose work we rely on so that we are aware of what's being said in the Palestinian media. Both of them are doing excellent work. Memory, Palestinian Media Watch. It's important for us to know what is being said in the Palestinian media. We sometimes use that information for a source. For us, sometimes we find it contradicts something in the Western media, and that in some cases the Palestinian information is very helpful. So we definitely try to keep current about what's being said. We don't see that as we haven't started doing the same kind of media criticism of Palestinian media, though, that we do with respect to other media outlets.
Okay. What are the recurrent bias that you are confronted with in general?
In general, over the course of conflict, periods of increased conflict, such as wars and also the stabbing and violence of the attacks and rammings and shootings of the last year, we see downplaying all too often of the Palestinian violence. So there were a series of headlines in the international media which depicted Palestinian assailants who were killed as they were carrying out attacks as victims. So, for instance, this past August, there was a headline in Reuters which said, Israeli soldier shoots dead Palestinian driver in West Bank Army. Well, of course, that driver had just carried out an attack on Israelis. So we were in touch with Reuters, and we were able to get that headline corrected. And we actually testified in the Knesset back in February, because this problem of headlines which were depicting Palestinian attackers as victims came to the attention even of Knesset members. So CAMRA was the only NGO that was invited to participate in this discussion. We were involved in an intensive back and forth then at that time with the bureau chief of Reuters in Jerusalem, who was also at the time the head of the Foreign Press Association. And we have seen an improvement in the wire service headlines. We have made an impact there. And more of the problems that we're seeing now are in more peripheral media outlets like The Forward or Voice of America. In more recent weeks have been the places where we've seen problems in this respect.
Mm-hmm. So you have mentioned, monitoring work, education work. What are the specific tools that you have or that you can use to make rectify articles? So you mentioned the meeting with the director of Reuters, for instance, Reuters. Yeah. But what are the tools that you use on a daily basis?
Our tools, our assets, are the information that we gather. Like I mentioned, we use a news database, LexisNexis, which gives us access to articles from that appeared decades ago in the New York Times. Or you can search for a word which appeared in a specific media outlet or over many media outlets over whatever time period you want. So this is an essential tool for us. We were in touch with many sources of all kinds to gather information, and I think that the strength of our information is really our strongest asset. We have been in this field for over three decades, I myself since 1999, so we have long-standing relationships with top editors and many media outlets, and these relationships are really important to advancing our mission to promote more accurate coverage. Mm-hmm. We are met with a lot of grudging respect on the part of many editors. You know, we do receive comments, thank you for pointing this out. We take what you say very seriously. We appreciate the professional tone of your work. So I think our own record of credibility is a huge asset for us. Our own research tools are very important to us. And knowing who to reach out to and in what way is also important. Mm-hmm.
But do you have negative feedback sometimes, negative reactions?
Well, as I mentioned, Haaretz launched a front page, they ran a front page story of us, which they believed was the most important news agenda item of the day. It appeared on the front page of Haaretz. It was the day after a building collapsed in Tel Aviv in which several builders unfortunately were killed. But, you know, the fact that CAMRA has a donor who also donates to the Times of Israel, Haaretz believed was a more pressing item for the country to know about, and they were pushing the story. And the comments, actually, if you read the comments to the story, most people see through it for what it is, which is an attempt to deflect criticism. Our well-based and grounded and documented criticism of their coverage. Mm-hmm. So certainly there are reporters and editors who respond in less professional ways. Luke Baker, he's the head of Reuters in Jerusalem, as I mentioned. Around the time that we were in this intensive correspondence or engagement with him after the Knesset meeting, he started to tweet the salary of the executive director of my organization instead of responding to the substance of criticism. He would say things like, Tamar Sternthal needs to get out more, when I would publish substantive articles, critiques of his organization's coverage of events. So there is a wide range of reaction to the type of work that we do. Some of it very professional and some of it not professional.
Okay, so we hope that you will keep us updated with all your work. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you. My pleasure, Pascal. Nice to be here.
And we'll talk soon, Tamar. Thank you.
Thank you.